Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no greater than you, Lord.
Yes.
Praising ourselves is a waste of time. Praising others is a waste of time.
Yes.
I long to worship and praise you, Lord. No other. I cannot use the word praise on you and use it on some on an individual.
Yes.
And not even in the same category or realm.
Amen.
We worship you, Lord.
Yes.
We hunger and thirst after you right now. We're going to open the Word. We're going to open you. We want to enter into you. We're not asking you to enter into us. We're asking that we enter into you.
Yes.
Don't come to where we are. Draw us to yourself,
yes.
Lord. We're tired of who and where we are.
Yes.
We want to be who you are, where you are, do what you say and what you do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We exalt you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No other information source, no other source of truth, no gray truth, only black and only white, only
yes.
good and evil. Those are the two choices, and today we choose you, Lord.
Yes.
You, Lord.
Yes.
We open our hearts and our minds to you. We intend to be filled. We will not be denied.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will be exalted in this place, and we will grow.
Yes.
Everybody agrees. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, if you will, I'm going to read a key verse this morning. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture, but this is the key one. That means that you're not going to get anywhere unless you open this one. That's what a key verse is, right?
Right.
All right, if you'll turn to me with into the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And I was, as I was waiting upon the Lord this morning for information, He started me in a direction that led me to this. And so I'll start here and go the other direction. Hallelujah. All right, I want to begin by you standing. One of the things we studied in Nehemiah on Tuesday night was that when the people heard the word, they were standing. They stood in reverence. This is God's word.
Yes.
This is not the New Testament church. This is God's word.
Yes.
And if you revere God's word, you need to stand.
Yes.
If you don't care anything about it, just keep sitting there. If you can stand, stand. At least give honor to God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he, which we're talking about Nehemiah. By the way, the picture is, he'd been reading the word to him. He'd been presenting the word to him. And for about 3 days now, they stood and they listened to the word. I ask you for 1 minute and you revolt. They stood for 3 days and listened. After it was over the Sabbath day, so they gave other days than the Sabbath day. Isn't that amazing? We're so lazy. They were weeping at the presence of the word. They were literally weeping. They weren't sad, they were glad, touched. And in this verse, they had to be released. So Nehemiah said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. You understand that sometimes the word can make you sorry? All right, you're forgiven. So he said, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Y'all may be seated. We've already prayed over this. It's going to be multiplied in your spirit now.
Amen.
By the way, I just spoke the truth to you about standing up. If you're aggravated at me, so be it. You'll have to talk to a higher source.
Yep.
We are a lazy, non-respectable nation.
Yes.
We give no reverence to God in true form. We don't give no reverence to His Word in true form. That's why we very seldom see God's Word received in power. Because we don't make place for it. I was amazed. We talked about this Tuesday night, about this Word just literally consuming and moving people. And Wednesday night, there wasn't hardly anybody here. That's how much we revere God's word. We'd rather go somewhere else, do something else. Oh, I've had a lot of miles. I've done this. I've done that. Oh, man, tie it outside. God's word is God's word.
Yes.
If you're hungry for it, you'll come get it.
Amen?
Amen? Yep. How about, I preached this earlier about, why do I need God? I've got His Word. But God's Word says you're not going to forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Right.
It doesn't say unless there's a birthday, an anniversary, or whatever. It says don't forsake it.
Right.
Oh, but you don't know. I don't want to know. I want to know God's Word. I surely don't want to know yours. Is that straight enough?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know God's Word? Because it's God's Word. How do I know yours? Because it's not God's Word.
Right.
Amen. Truth is what we seek.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to open the scripture up to you in a little bit, but I'm going to ask you a couple of questions first. And I want you to listen, and then I want you to honestly, by the Spirit, I demand that you honestly respond in your spirit. That was a demand put upon the Word. You understand?
Yes.
Now, I noticed a while ago, when it got quiet, you got uncomfortable. You didn't stand in peace. You start going. It's part of my question to you this morning. What would happen if you found yourself in a place with no work, no TV, no radio, no car, no telephone, no spouse, no offspring, nothing to do, no one to talk to, and no place to go? What would you do? See, I just took away every excuse known to mankind. How fidgety would you get? Would we need a straitjacket to hold you in place? Or would you enjoy, for the first time in a long time, the presence of God? You understand that most of the time, you wouldn't know God if you ran over you in an 18-wheeler because you're too busy with your business. You're too busy. You haven't got time for Him. Just amazes me that for 3 days, Nehemiah and his cronies, his assistants, stood and read from the Word. And they stood in reverence. No school, no swimming, no piano lessons. No, I got to get my car fixed. No, I got to get a crew waiting on me. No, I got this customer waiting on me. None of that nonsense. They just put it to one side and stood in total reverence to the reading of God's Word. Maybe that's how come they got their city built. Maybe that's why all their provisions were made, were taken care of. By the way, title of this message is, He is My Portion.
Yes.
He is my portion. You could also say, He is my provision. It's the same thing. Now I'm going to say it again, now that I've told you the title, He is my portion, He is my provision. What would happen if you found yourself in a place with no work, no TV, no radio, no car, no telephone, no spouse, no offspring, no grandchildren, nothing to do, no one to talk to, no place to go, no money to spend, no bed to lay in. I'm just here. Now let's think about that for a second. In your total lifetime, have you ever been there? Have you ever allowed yourself to be there any more than 5 minutes? Before you did something about it. You changed it. What I was really tempted to do, and I don't know that I'll do it right now, maybe I'll do it later, is just to stop and you can't look anywhere, you can't talk anywhere, you can't say anything for 5 whole minutes and see what happened to you. I bet you nowhere in your life have you ever been quiet or still for 5 minutes. I said in a service one time when the Lord took over, and He demanded praise, and they applauded for 22 minutes straight. And the man of God, the one that was supposed to be in leadership, could not stop the people. I didn't think anything about it at the time until I went back and reviewed the videotape and found out how long 22 minutes of applause is. I could not have repeated it, only I was involved at the time. It's amazing what God can do if we will not be distracted.
Yes.
With those conditions in mind, how long would you be at peace before you heard a voice saying, I won't be able to pay my bills? I've got something to do. I need to go. This is so stressful, I better lay down and take a nap. Anybody answering honestly here? You're just looking at me like a calf at a new gate. The answer is, how long would you be at peace? The answer to that is, depends on your relationship with God.
Yes, that's right.
And since I already let you answer it first, now you're convicted. Another question. Same question. But I'll put on there no money, no hope, no future, and no way out. Now don't tell me you haven't touched on that ever in your life. Well, that was a voice not of God that heard that you heard. And if you repeated it, you're a fool. And I'll say that again. If you ever repeat anything like that, you're a fool. Your relationship with God is defunct. It's void. So the answer to that is the same thing. Depends on your relationship with God. If those words, if those thoughts ever lay in your mind more than about 10 seconds, you need to rekindle your relationship with God. It's gone dead. Now I'm going to open that scripture up to you just a little bit. After the word, no, let me say it correctly. After the people gave reverence to the word, we got to get this technically correct. The word is not ever going to change you. Your reverence to the word is what will change you.
Yeah.
Reverence includes the word obedience.
Yes.
So you're after the people were reverent to the word for 3 days, not worrying about work, not worrying about the car being filled with gas. They don't care what their kids are saying. They don't miss their favorite soap opera. None of that nonsense. They stayed for 3 days, in total awe of the word. Nehemiah, verse 8, 10 again. Then he, Nehemiah, said unto them, go your way. Let me say it this way. Now that I'll add these in here. Now that the word has touched and changed you, go live. Eat, which means to consume and enjoy. Eat the fat, which means the very best there is. You know the word, when it touches you, will not let you settle for second best? Come on. We just say he's a high tower. You think he wrote a medium word?
Nope. No.
Eat the very best. Drink. The word is imbibe. Do you know what usually is referred to in imbibe? It doesn't mean drink. It means guzzle. Drink it in and let it affect you. What? The sweet, which is the best again. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. What does that mean? That means you were prepared, you showed up, you stood, you received. Now don't hide it, give it to somebody that didn't show up and didn't revere and didn't stand. For this is holy, this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Don't you be sorry, worry, or diseased. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now here's the important part. And I'm going to tell you point blank. I get so tired. You know what excuses are? I'm going to try not to be too graphic or colorful. I'll just say they're bull.
Yep.
If you've ever been an employer, then you know that excuses are bull. They're nonsense for an employee to get out of doing what he knew to do. Come on.
Yeah, right.
It's the way it is. If it were your business and if it was your importance, you'd take care of it. You wouldn't have a little pain here, an ache here, fever here, whatever. You just go get it done.
Right.
Now you are servants of a living God. That means you have no vote and you have no choice. You feel like the Holy Spirit's a little hostile this morning? You're mad at somebody. I don't know who it is, but me. Y'all get to listen. How about that? There's no excuse for not doing what God tells you to do. Ever. Ever. Your excuse will never feed the bulldog. You'll just still be hungry. No excuses. There's only reasons. And Jesus said, you and I come, let us reason together. And when your reason stands up against his, you lose.
That's right.
When Jesus said, come, let us reason together, it was like said the spider to the fly. You give me an excuse, I'll eat you alive. Come on, y'all don't understand plain English?
Oh, yeah.
You ought to be chuckling. You ought to be angry. Steam should be coming out of your something. Just make sure you respond, okay? Now, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
That's right.
That word is kedva. It means you rejoicing.
Yeah.
You doing the rejoicing.
Yeah.
To make glad. You make glad. He didn't ask you. You're not supposed to ask him to make you glad. You make him glad by rejoicing.
Yeah.
And for that, because you rejoice, then your strength, which is ma'us, means you have a fortified place, or you now have a defense.
Amen.
You have a fortress, a rock, strength, stronghold, but it can only come in you rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
You rejoicing about the Lord. You rejoicing about what the Lord has done. You rejoicing about who He is. Makes you strong. Gives you a strong place to stand, and gives you a defense.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, what do you need a defense for? Well, mostly against you. Mostly against the thoughts that are in you. Mostly against the attack of the enemy that comes through your flesh. You remember all those things I mentioned a while ago? No hope, no worry, no money, all that stuff. That's a lie from hell. When are you going to rejoice in the Lord and make it a lie from hell? It's the truth unless you rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
See, if I come and take all your money and all your credit cards, and I take your home and I take your car and I take every hope you've got, which is what the enemy wants, then the truth is you're without hope.
That's right.
Unless you rejoice in the Lord,
that's right,
then your strong tower takes care of the lie.
Amen.
Right.
Y'all not getting it. I can see that. So there's a couple of us, a little bit. My wife's not even excited enough yet. I'm telling you a whole bunch of truth, and you ought to be excited.
Amen.
You ought to be excited. There is a fact that you can quote. Did you know that? There's a fact that you can quote. And if you do, you're not rejoicing the Lord. You never rejoice the Lord in speaking facts. You rejoice the Lord in speaking the truth. What's the truth? Who He is. Who He is. Not who your situation or what your situation is. It is who He is that gives you a strong place.
Amen.
A fortress against what?
Against the enemy.
That's right. Against the lies. You now have, what you've done by rejoicing in the Lord is you've made the truth over the fact, which has made the fact a lie.
Amen.
Well, Stan, you're crazy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. Don't you forget it. I would prefer you call me peculiar, but if crazy is a handy one, you can use that one. I hope that I'm so crazy that while you're telling me about all these diseases and worries and all that stuff, I'm spewing slobber on you rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes.
I want to be cotton mouth rabid rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
I want you to worry about getting too close to me with all that nonsense. Come on. I never will forget that quote of my granddad. He said, I'm going to take a swing at you, and even if I miss, it'll give you pneumonia. Now, that's not what I want the enemy to feel for me.
Yes.
Every word that he comes against me. I began to rejoice. My rejoicing in the Lord, by the way, my rejoicing in the Lord puts me in the Lord, which gives me the high tower and the mighty fortress.
Amen.
Not my singing about it, my doing it.
Amen.
What do you mean doing it? Rejoicing in the Lord. I don't know if I need to. Why don't we just go now? I've said enough. Probably you would say more than enough. But I don't know if I can get this through to you, how much the Lord is drilling me into this. I don't want to hear your problems. I want to hear your mighty fortress.
Yes.
It's all right for you to tell me I had a flat tire, but praise the Lord, there's no problem. You can do it that way if you want, but I want you to do it until you don't even tell me about the flat tire anymore. You've already taken care of the rejoicing, and you don't have to burden me with the flat tire.
Amen.
I know that sounds silly, but it's not. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Every one of us goes through the valley of the shadow.
Right.
And all of it feels like death.
Yeah.
Well, wah. There's more to that sentence. And you don't invite anybody to put a tent there with you either, do you? I can go through the valley on the way to the tabernacle of meeting.
Yeah. Amen.
That's fine. There's no law against that. There's no ridicule against that. But we are such a stinking soft nation that we think it's all right to burden other people with what we have perceived or received as problems. If I rejoice in the Lord, I have no problems.
Right.
I don't have any. And I especially don't have any that you want to hear about.
Amen. That's right.
Did you get that one?
Yes.
Because if you're rejoicing in the Lord, you don't want to want me to acknowledge non-existent problems. Karen, you've helped me greatly with this message, I promise you. When she gives a report of a doctor, it is the funniest thing in the world. It can't come out right. It's so funny. It's comical. But then the Lord takes me and shows me some things that I say because of that. I haven't been saying some things correctly either. You understand? If I acknowledge a problem and don't rejoice in the Lord, I'm a goof. I am a goof. All right, let me say it in another way then, since y'all don't like that one. To a Christian, to someone that's rejoicing in the Lord, a problem can never be accompanied with a period.
Right. That's right. Amen.
There has to be something that you put on the end of that requires an exclamation point.
Amen.
Yeah,
I'm not an English teacher, but can you understand that?
Yeah, amen.
Every situation that we've ever seen, that we ever will see, opens a door for rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to keep saying this until we get it, until we understand it. I don't care what it is. Whatever the problem, whatever the threat, whatever the worry, is nothing but a knock on the door for rejoicing in the Lord. You open that.
That's right.
You open it. By the way, my wife has helped me this, because she's come up with some goofy statements in the last few months, and that helps me to see how ugly it is. My wife's a beautiful woman. Beautiful things need to come out of her mouth. And if they don't, then I need to wash her mouth out with a message. You see how I keep coming from this different directions? Rejoice in the Lord.
Yes, always.
Always. And
again I say rejoice.
And if that's not enough, again I say rejoice. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on now that y'all have understood this, right?
Yeah.
I said what I said. I told you 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 what I said. Now let's go on. That ought to be enough. All right. Here's what we do. This is from, you don't have to turn there, but from Acts 17:28, we sing this. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Well, what we've said is, in Him, I brought in cancer and sickness and worry.
No.
Well, if that's what we're doing, that's what we bring into Him.
That's exactly right.
And it's no wonder He looks so fouled up to the world.
Yeah. Amen.
Here's the question, another question for you. If you are really in Him so much, how come your surroundings affect you so much?
Amen.
That's a pretty convicting statement for all of us, isn't it?
It is.
If we're just so much in Him, then how come it don't take but a lightning bug on the end of a stick to run us clean out of the country? It must not be a strong place. How much time, by the way, the answer to all this is rejoice, but how many of us spend our time thinking on and discussing the facts instead of rejoicing in the truth? What's your phone conversations consist of? When you meet somebody on the street, what do you tell them about? Disease? Sickness? Worry? Or you tell them about your strong, mighty tower? Now, the answer to that is mostly you tell them negative. I don't care who you are. Mostly you tell them negative. Mm-hmm. You don't believe that? Well, record your conversations time to time and see. Or worse yet, have somebody record your conversation and see. When you get together with somebody, when you're alone, do we speak facts and reports, or put these lies in with, or replace the lies with truth and rejoice in the truth? If we knew God, like we're supposed to know God, whatever, I'll say it again, whatever valley or shadow we're going through at the time, you know in your heart of hearts that the next step is going to be higher than where we were. Either that or you don't trust God. You don't trust God. If you think, let me say it another way. I'm going to keep saying this different. If you think that anything bad could happen to you on a continuing basis, you don't know God very well.
That's right.
Come on. Yep. At least you don't believe Him. Whether you believe God or not is manifested by your life and your words. It's not manifested by your testimony. You know, if I've got a report that I want you to associate with, that means you need to agree me out of it. A negative report. If I come to you and say I have $100,000 worth of debt, I have just sinned against you. If I have not given you the solution,
amen.
I've tried to lay something negative on you without a solution. That's death, by the way.
Yes.
That's death with no life. If I say to you, but I'm I'll tell you this much, it's only for a season.
Amen.
It's only for a season. You wait and see what God's fixing to do with this.
Amen.
Just wait and see.
Amen.
Well, but I did it to me. Yeah, but you're forgiven.
Amen.
You're not relieved yet because you haven't stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But you're forgiven.
Amen.
You're going to be relieved when you stop doing it. If your credit card's your enemy, cut up the dumb credit card. Come on. Work out of cash. Y'all ever do that in your entire life? Work cash only? It's really a great teacher. What is the first thing it teaches you? If I ain't got it, I don't spend it. Isn't that? That's economics 101. That's first grade in college, 101. It's first grade anywhere if you teach your kids. You ain't got it, you can't spend it. You say that enough and it might get on you.
Yes.
I'm not going to write a check when it's not in the bank account. That's some charismatic belief. Don't go there. You can write it on God's account, but He doesn't give you cash. He gives you faith.
Yes.
Better than cash.
Yes.
Better than cash. If I'm running short of funds, if I've got a monthly income of $2,000, and I go buy me a $20 meal, I've made a mistake.
Yep.
Well, but I got the $20. Yeah, but you don't have the income to merit it. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me? I don't mean to be mean, but you set your spending habits according to your income. Don't spend it and then try to go find the income. Now, here's the cool part about this. Let's turn it spiritually. When you begin to rejoice in the Lord, you're doing the opposite. You're spending something that you don't have. But God has told you to do it. Why? Because He's more than enough.
Amen. That's right.
You hear me? He's more than enough.
That's right. Amen.
Now, see, until you believe that He's got more than you can spend, you can't spend it. You're looking at me like a wise owl or something. Like one with a question. Do you think God has more money than you can spend?
Oh, yeah.
Got more power than you can spend?
Absolutely.
Then you need to learn the steps on how to spend it and work it. And that is, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
If you can't learn that one, then don't try to learn the second part. Don't even think about the second part. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Now you remember, I don't know if you remember or not, but we were gone for a long time. In that long time, we had zero income. Well, that's not totally true. We had some unearned income that was greatly appreciated. but not enough to meet the bills. Our overhead is high. It's high. We've made a commitment to reduce that, and we're going to do it.
Amen.
We're going to do it. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to do it, some slow, some so quick it'll amaze you when that time comes. We're going to reduce the overhead. But in the meantime, is my God more than enough?
Yes.
Is the bills His or mine?
It is.
If I say they are, they're His, right?
That's right.
Because if I say they're His, I'm not copping out. I'm rejoicing in that fact.
Amen.
It's my attitude. I'm not trying to cop out of what I did. I'm rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
We had bills to pay when we got back home. Oh, whoa, it's me. I don't know how we're going to do this. I better go out and get 15 jobs, and I better borrow some money, and I better spend money. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Nowhere in your Bible is that written.
That's right.
When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. That
yes.
means you're rejoicing in the stand.
Yes.
Not just standing with a frown on your face. And sometimes you might have to get after your wife. Because she might, slip on the mop floor or something. Who knows? She may need a little help. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord stepped in for us, just like He's going to continue to do, and He'll do for everybody in here. Trust Him. Trust comes before pay.
Yes.
What does that mean? That means you have to see no way out before the way out comes.
That's right.
Rejoicing does not come from a paycheck. Rejoicing comes from the knowledge that you know it's coming.
Amen.
Did I need to say that again? Okay. You don't rejoice after you get the paycheck from God. You rejoice before you get it.
Yeah,
then you'll get it. That's the formula in all of the Bible. Any idiot can say thank you for something that's already come in.
Yeah.
It takes no faith. It just takes a bit, minimum bit of politeness.
Right.
You know what faith does for you? It causes you to see no bills, no sickness, no disease. That's what faith causes you to see before it's even real. That one man of God said, his eyes are blinded. Show them. Show him. Show him how many of them, remember? In other words, show him the deliverance. Show him the deliverance. The problem is, with worrying about problems, is you will never see deliverance. If you're worried about the problems, that's going to be what's in your eye.
Yes, that's right.
That's the apple. The worry is now the apple of your eye. Instead of God the deliverer. Emmanuel. What was the title of my message? I forgot. He is my
portion.
That's right. He is my portion. I can't remember if it was that or the other one. Amen. Now let's get away from any named problems and just say when unsurety comes. Is that big enough? When you're unsure about something. Now, that never happens to any of us. Right? I know what Psalm 73:26 says. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart.
Amen.
And my portion forever. Now, the cool part about this is I've taken out a subscription that never runs out.
That's right.
All I need to do is keep opening and remembering and reading.
Yeah.
My portion forever. You know what portion means? It means an allotment, an inheritance, my provision.
Yeah.
That's the definition of that word. So He is my allotment, my inheritance, my provision forever.
Yeah.
And the Scripture says He doesn't sleep and He doesn't slumber. So whatever situation you think you might have, He already knows about it.
Good.
He didn't sleep in the middle of His night. He doesn't have one.
That's right.
Psalms 119, 54 through 57 says this, your statutes have become my songs. Now what sad song are you singing? Your statutes have become my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. In other words, on my way through all of this, the goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, and everything, your statutes have become my songs. I remember your name in the night. Wonder why he said in the night. Am I only on the weird one to believe that that's the only time the enemy comes? He has no hold in me in the daytime. I promise you, the enemy is nothing to me in the daytime. Yep. But he does bug me sometime in my sleep.
Yeah.
Evidently, David also.
Yes.
I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. You know why he said that? Because sometimes he didn't want to.
Yep.
This has become mine because I have kept your precepts. What has become mine? You are my portion, O Lord. Now listen to what I'm telling you here. God cannot be your portion until you keep His statutes and precepts.
Yes. Right.
I have said that I would keep your words. The rest of that is, therefore I will.
Amen.
Are you a liar?
No.
Sure?
No.
How many times you've broken His word? How many times you've told Him you're going to keep your word? Keep His word? I'm not trying to be mean here. You're forgiven. Don't you worry about it. You're forgiven. But you're not forgiven for poverty yet. And some sickness and some disease. Why is that, O Lord? Because you're not keeping His statutes and precepts. You don't make a commitment to be moved by the Word of God. A commitment that every time that house is open, I'm going because I want to listen. And I'm going to be moved and I'm going to be changed. And the provision and the power and the strength that I get out of that word is going to overcome anything that it costs me.
Yeah.
Now, I can hear David saying this. Anybody that's serious about the word knows it's work. It's not play. It's work. Yeah. It's life-giving or life-taking work.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to take the life of the enemy, you want to get life. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul."
Hallelujah.
When's the Lord become your portion? When you start calling Him, rejoicing in Him, calling that Him is your portion and not your problems as your portion.
Yeah.
The problem is we speak so much of our problems, they become our portion. They're our source. They're our inheritance.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to those that are not forgiven yet. That means your history has not been erased. If you can't erase your history, your inheritance is sealed. That's a wise word for everybody. If you can't erase by the Spirit, if you can't erase your history, your inheritance is sealed. And it's not God. You know why David said, "I remember the lion and the bear"? He reached back and changed his inheritance. With what he's already gotten, he changed his inheritance. You know what he was fixing to get from Goliath? He was fixing to open up a can of something and it wasn't life and that more abundantly. Y'all haven't been to Cozumel, I take it. He knew that. So what did he do? He reached back in his paycheck from before and opened up a new inheritance in the future. He rejoiced in the Lord. You'll change tomorrow with rejoice today.
Yeah.
I promise you. Now, I didn't finish something, and I'm going to tell you right now. Shortly after you guys knew that we were facing bills, she got some kind of wild-haired notion to get on the Internet. And, it has to be wild-haired in my house because I don't like it. I don't like it. It'll eat you, consume you. Take away your total time and vision and theory.
Right.
Blog is just exactly that. It's exactly like it sounds. It's negative. Blog. I don't sound positive. That's what it is. See, I don't want to know about your blog, and I don't want you to know about mine. So I'm not going to put it out there, and I'm surely not going to read yours.
Amen.
Tell me where it's positive, and I'll involve. Find that word in the Bible, and I'll participate. But we had a lady call us up and said, "We want you to do this kind of work." "Okay, how much do you charge?" $400 a day. We worked a week. $400 a day. I figured they'd kick us out. Why did I figure that? Did you know that to the Lord I'm more important and I'm more powerful and I'm more valuable than she is? Oh, y'all didn't agree. Well, tough. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Do you know who you are? I don't need to be the lowest bidder on anything. It's not required of me in the Bible, so don't tell me I have to be. Amen? Crazy things. Let me just sum it up real good. That we've been blessed and we've been blessed and we've been blessed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I'm rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And for those of you that I may crack your crystal, right, just for a second, it's okay. For those of you that think that you know what's right and wrong, let me say this. If you think you got it down, God's here to crack your crystal. Because He will. Those little idols, those little gods, He will break them. And so I'm going to break a couple here today. We went up the other night. I love all-you-can-eat crab at Black Hall. So we went up there. We get a when they send us a deal, a coupon, we go up there. It's two for one, $15.99 for two people to eat all-you-can-eat crab and all the gourmet desserts and all that. That's my kind of deal. That's a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. I don't like to gamble. I think it's a totally sick-minded waste. Connie likes to gamble, and I don't let her. That's the way it is. You're not going to throw my money down a slot. It comes too hard. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the other day I got a feeling. The other night I got a feeling. I shouldn't say that. That's a worldly way of saying it. I believe by the Spirit I knew something. I knew she was going to win something. I wasn't because it's not me. And so I gave her $40. I'm a big spender. And within, and I went down and listened to the band. That's what I'm really, they got a, anyway, I was listening to the band. She calls up. I get up, walk up. She won $2,100. Out of the 40. Is that a good return?
Yes.
I would pay $40 for a $2,100. That isn't all. She won more than that. We ended up about $2,400 ahead. And then it quit and we quit. Walked home. They didn't get it back. See, if you really want to know somebody stupid, You want a description of somebody stupid? Somebody hands you $100 and you give it back to them. That's stupid.
Right, that's right.
And yet that's what the gambling parlors count on.
That's right.
They don't care how much they let you win, just as long as you give it back. Because they know you're going to say, it gave me once, I'm going to do it again. And now you're in the hole. Spiritual applications to everything. Amen?
Yes.
Now who... Here's what I need to do. Oh, don't tell anybody. You're going to crack their crystal. Don't tell anybody. Hey, how can I rejoice in the Lord except for you? When are you going to stop looking gift horses in the mouth? I'm not worthy. Oh, yes, I am. My Bible says I am. I'm worthy. I don't care where it comes from. You hear me? I don't care where it comes from. I don't care. The money is the same. Let me say it another way. The blessing's the same. What? You wanted it to come to the from the enemy, didn't you? You know what religion will teach you? Don't ever touch the world. Let's just bless each other. You become a bunch of inbred perverts.
That's right.
You only get so much money and it's just passed around from person to person. Out there is, the Bible says, give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will?
Men.
Men. Not your brother. Men. Now you need to figure out, if you're going to rejoice in the Lord, how you're going to manage to get all these blessings from places that are not supposed to come from. Because I got a feeling if you've got these little statues and idols, your little belief systems, that God's going to come through one of those to bless you. Why? Well, so you don't get rigor mortis before time. You're not foolish enough where God comes bopping in your front door with an armload of whatever that you needed and you turn it down because it didn't have the right label on it. There's not very many amens there. God, get them. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Let me say it another way. Therefore, all my hope is in Him. You know what? Look at me for a second. Your hope cannot be in your ability.
That's right.
Your hope cannot be in your belief system.
That's right.
Your belief system will never make you holy.
That's right.
It may keep you from getting unholy, but it won't make you holy.
That's right.
Your job is not your source or your portion.
Right.
Your ability to run around like a chicken with its head cut off, supposedly accomplishing things, is not your provision. It's not your portion. Your hard work is not your portion. How hard did you work to get that $2,100 or $2,400? You didn't work very hard, did you? Well, shame on you. It can't be from God.
She worked hard for the original 40.
No, she didn't. I did. No, she did too. And she said the week before, when we were up there again, she put in $20, she walked away, and she said, I worked too hard for my money, they're not getting any more. $10, I'm sorry, $10. So you can have, that's not double-minded, that's by the Spirit.
Amen.
How are you ever going to take from the world if you don't at least touch the world? Did you know the money you get paid with right now is tainted like crazy? Any drug-sniffing dog will sniff it out as having drug remnants on it. Every one of your dollars, every one of them. So don't get too righteous. You may end up with nothing.
Yep, that's right.
Money's dirty. Let's spend it like it's... What did he say? What was the scripture we read? Remember the first one? Go. Go on with your life and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send the portions to those with nothing. He didn't say, be careful, be careful, be careful. The Bible says be careful for nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing. Just grin and rejoice.
Amen.
Look, I'm going to show you something here. And just so you'll know that I'm telling you the truth, turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. I won't spend long, maybe two verses, maybe an hour. Don't trust me. Numbers chapter 14, verse 37. I'm feeling very sacrilegious today. Is that good? Y'all need to say amen.
Amen.
We need to break religion.
Yes.
Numbers chapter 14, verse 37. Here is to those that believe in facts. For all of you semi-Christians that believe in facts, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. Were they doing the Lord's work? Were they people of God?
No.
Yes, they were. They were the tribe of Israel. They were the product of the... They were called people of God. They were traveling under God's provision, were they not? They were spies picked by... Who were they picked by? Moses, a man of God. He wouldn't have picked a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners.
Right.
And he sent them in to go look at the promised land. Got to get that D on there. I'll be. He was sent. They were sent in there to look at the promised land. That means something that already belonged to them, right?
Yeah.
And they came back with what? Facts. It's called an evil report, but all they did was tell you the facts. Y'all get this down. You're only a liar if you say something other than the Word of God.
That's right.
Oh, that's rough. Let me say it again so it gets on the CD. You're a liar if you report anything except God's Word.
Yes, right. Amen.
Those who believe in facts, those very men who brought the evil report about the land, died by the plague right in front of God. And He did nothing. Why? Live by the facts, die by the facts.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You like these reports, you die by the report. If that's your provision, you got it. I didn't know God was like that. Well, you need to wake up. To those that speak and rejoice in God's Word, the next verse. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of that guy, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Why did they remain alive?
Because they told the truth.
They said, it's a good land. Yeah, those guys are out there, those big old things. So what? God says, go in, let's go in. That's we are what?
Well able.
We are well able. See, that's rejoicing in the Lord. We are well able.
Amen.
They're not saying it about themselves. They're saying it about God. He's their provision, their strength, the high tower.
Amen.
Amen. Ah, look at this one. I got a question for you. Am I satisfied where He is, or must He be where I am at? Or good English, where I am. Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus, we're talking about. And I'm going to get right in the middle of this. I'm not going to extend it long. Jesus went a little further and fell on his face. Why would Jesus fall on his face? Because he was going through the valley of the shadow. He was a man like you and I, felt everything like you and I. He was coming to the end of his life. At least that's the way he felt. And I know you poor babies have felt that often.
Yes.
I've just come to the end of everything.
Yes.
Well, when did you fall on your face?
Help us, Lord.
Ooh. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That's rejoicing in the Lord. Because if you can say, not what I want, but what you want, God, you've given Him the end.
Amen.
You don't hold the end. He does.
Yes.
And you trust His end.
Yes. Right.
Look at this. Then He came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" See, I was tempted for 5 minutes because I was afraid you'd run off. Jesus said for an hour. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, here's our religion today. We're the guys asleep. See, don't you understand? I got up early. I got to go to bed. Please. I got my sleep to catch up on. I got work tomorrow. I ain't got time for this. Jesus said, "Can't you wait? Can't you just be with me for an hour?" Our religion is this. Jesus, I ain't got time. God, I don't have time to be with you. You just come on, be with me. I have the agenda. I don't care about yours. Isn't that where we really are?
Yes.
We have such a stinking silly schedule. We don't have time for God. I remember one time God was giving me things in the middle of the night. Woke me up and give me things. I get up out of bed, right, I go back to bed. I get up out of bed, right, I go back to bed. Connie said, "Why don't we just get up?" Because I was waking her up every time. You've got to turn the light on to write. You can't write in the dark.
Well, some of
them Show me something you've written. It'll be in Braille. What about that little guide where it comes to your signature? You got to have somebody else place the guide. I don't mean to ridicule you, but let's get real. You cannot write in the dark. You cannot read in the dark. I want Richard to experience the light.
Yes.
Amen. I want that. I'm not mocking him at all. But don't change my truth. Because then I have to come against it. Now listen, and Richard wouldn't come against me. I didn't say that. Richard's a good man. He's seeking God. I know that.
He is.
And we're seeking that he gets healed.
Amen.
He is healed, but we want the manifestation.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, I said, we don't need to. I'm through. Of course, it took the fourth time. And I don't know how long that was. I don't watch the clock. I do now because it's on my roof. I can see it. But I don't care. Whose time is it anyway?
God.
Then what are you doing fussing? Why you complain that it's interrupted? God, I got to have my 8 hours. Oh, you wouldn't have the 8 hours of sleep if he didn't give it to you. Much less sleep. The promise of the Bible says you have sweet sleep. So
right.
The only reason anybody ever gets sleep is because God gave it. If he wants to take it away, so be it. We'll just stay up forever. He has to back up what he asked you to do.
Right.
Right?
Right?
If he wants me to stay up tonight, he's got to give me refreshing in the morning. That's who God is. He doesn't cost me without giving.
That's right.
Never ask me to do anything without a reward. Now, Jesus said, here's what he's really saying. I'm not coming where you are. You come where I'm at.
Amen.
I'm not staying where you stay. You stay where I'm at. Do I hide from God's will and His burden in sleep or work? Another question. Do you actually work your way out of the presence of God? Because it's a little too much. Or God's been dealing with me, I better sleep on this. Must I stay busy to be at peace? Or is my peace in Him? Quietly rejoicing. Where's your peace? So you got to have peace when there's no money, or you're not going to get the money. And the peace is not in accomplishing something. The peace, listen to me, God has already accomplished through Christ Jesus everything that needs to be accomplished for you. You cannot work your way into or out of anything.
That's right.
Well, Stan, you're against work? Oh, yeah. You betcha. Let's have a sidebar here. My Bible says a man that doesn't work doesn't eat.
That's right.
And I remember that scripture too. You don't try to tangle me in God's word. You will lose. I told you that without work, you must have peace or there won't be work.
Right.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't care what you do. If it's not in Christ Jesus, you are a miserable failure.
Yes.
And your life will show it. Your provisions will show it. You'll always be like a man with a hole in his pocket, is what the Bible says.
Yes.
If it's not in Him, you've done nothing. So how do we start? In Him.
Amen.
Doing nothing. I'm telling you, there needs to be a time. Whether it's little intermittent things during the day, there needs to be a time. Let God explain the rest of that. To where there is nothing else that matters. Not one thing else matters. Whether it's got to be a time of rejoicing. It's got to be a time of quiet. These are different times. There's got to be a time of when you get caught making hand gestures. And I don't mean bad ones. I mean praising the Lord.
Amen.
In response to Him, there can be some words. There's got to be a time when nobody else is involved. Nothing else is involved. You do that with Connie? Absolutely. She don't get in on half of my conversation with God. Not even a fourth of it. I promise you. Because this is a time when I have to renew my strength in Him.
Mm-hmm.
She can't do that. She can do a lot of things in renewal, but she cannot renew my strength in Christ Jesus. Not possible. She can aid. But in my house, she's going to be the worrier. I've made that. I'm not going to be the worrier. I've made that commitment. So I'm going to have to take care of her worrying by putting it down. Because the only way I'm going to stay up is to put that down. Y'all got that? The only way to stay up in Christ Jesus is to put anything else down.
That's right.
You just don't know. Let's keep it that way.
Amen.
If you'll know what I'm trying to tell you this morning, then I won't have to know what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Come on, that was wisdom right there.
Amen.
That's good. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
That's cable. Larry the cable guy. You hear me? If you will rejoice in Christ Jesus, I will not have to listen to your belly aching. If I will rejoice in Christ Jesus, you will not have to listen to mine.
Amen.
Why? Because we don't have any. That's right. It won't be there. That's right. Do I hide in my work? Do I hide in my busyness? If you want strong peace, how many of you would like to have strong peace instead of strong worry? Psalms chapter 40, verse 16. Psalms chapter 40, verse 16. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And it's not talking about you, Chuck, Bill, Bob. It's talking about God.
Right.
Let all those who seek you, God, rejoice and be glad in you.
Yes.
So how are you going to get the presence of God?
By rejoicing.
And be glad in Him. Not glad in that He paid your last bill.
Nope.
Yes.
Not glad that He healed your last ailment. In Him. It doesn't make any difference if there's absolutely no hope. I am going to be glad in Him.
Amen.
Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Now listen to this. Let those that really love you, and they love your salvation. Now, what does it mean by love your salvation? Really believe. I really believe. I really believe He died. I really believe that my portion is Him. I really believe that my future eternally is secure. I really believe that no weapon formed against me will prosper because it came with my salvation. I really believe that I have the mind of Christ in these things. I really believe that the Holy Spirit tells me what to do and what not to do. I am so comfortable in the fact that I am in a mighty high fortress that there's nothing to worry about. Let those that really love that and believe that say continually, the Lord be magnified.
The Lord be magnified.
Why? Because He's so precious to me.
Amen.
My money's not precious. The gold and silver, the whatever that is not precious. My Savior is precious. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's Philippians 4:4, in case you need to remember. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Isn't that amazing? The New Testament confirming the old.
Yeah, man.
For those that don't believe in the New Testament, well, you just don't understand what it says. Because all it says is what the Old Testament says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Choose you this day, guys. Our mouths and the mouths of others can be the biggest enemy, or they can be our biggest strength.
Right.
Our mouths, the mouths of others can be our biggest enemy, or our biggest strength. The only safe, rich, fortified place is in Him.
Amen.
It is not in your calorie burn. Your calories being burned will never accomplish anything. We rejoice that He is our provision, our food, our money, our wealth, our health, our direction, and our future. And again, I say, rejoice.
Amen.
It's all right to say that again every 5 minutes if you want to.
Amen.
In Him we will have no lack or need.
Yes.
All is well.
Amen.
All is well. In Him, all is well.
That's right.
See, I can't be the head of my house unless I make my house say what's true.
Amen.
In Him, all is well. We don't have a timeout for worry. We don't have a timeout for fighting. There's no timeouts in Him.
Right.
When I am in God, I am hidden from the things of this world. Now, God picks the strangest times, and I hate that this is going to go on the recording, but it will. I told you that, I've told you not, it doesn't make any difference. When I ran out of the service to keep from getting saved, the excuse in church is always, when things get hot, run to the bathroom. Like people don't, like God can't control your bladder. So you hide. I ran in there, and as a young boy, about 5-6 years old, I got saved while I was peeing because God would not leave me alone. I went into the restroom this morning, and the same thing, this word came. When I am in God, I am hidden from the things of this world. How do I know if you're in God, whether you're hidden from the things of this world or not?
Yes.
Or if the things of this world have more dominion over you than the place of God,
mm-hmm.
The place of God being God Himself? I'm hidden in His holiness from unholiness, the world. Do you think God is a good place to be? You think He's really a high tower? You think that you think that His holiness could actually shield you from seeing anything of this world?
Amen.
Or realizing anything of this world?
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
What is the rest of it?
Again, I say rejoice.
Okay. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If I am joying, then I'm also rejoicing or rejoicing.
Amen.
There's my strength. That takes me into God. Do you know rejoicing? This is what I'm trying to get across. Speaking God eliminates problems.
Yes.
You're the problem. I'm the problem. We got problems. But speaking God, you cannot speak the Word of God. You cannot thank God without rejoicing.
Yes, right.
It's not possible. And that mindset sets where you reside. You hear me? You build your house with your mouth. It can be the house of ill repute, or it can be the house of the Lord. And the conditions don't decide that. Your mouth does.
Yes, that's right.
I don't. Look here. This is a little old thing, but out there it's hot. Did you know that? Out there it's hot. Somebody decided to be in hot in here because it's hot out there, so they changed it in here. Now we have a technique to be cool in here when it's hot out there. Why in the world doesn't a Christian understand? Just because it's a little hot, a little broke, a little sick, a little something out there, why does it have to be in you?
Yeah.
God has given us provision to condition the things about us.
Yeah.
And one of the things is condition the air that comes
Hallelujah.
Out.
Right.
Rejoicing in the Lord takes me from out there into here. That's right. Good. It's also heart washing.
Yeah,
mouthwash, heart wash. Mouthwash washes the heart and the mind. That's scripture. It says wash your spouse with the word. Right?
Amen.
I rejoice in the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
Being in the Lord, rejoicing, is my strength. That is my strong, mighty, high tower.
Amen.
Now, where do you choose? Where do you want to live?
In God.
You know what's cool part? When I'm in God, I just create heat on others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? It don't affect me. More than that, I don't care if a nuclear bomb drops right out of that street. If I'm in the Lord, I'm taken care of.
That's right.
Whether I live or whether I die, it makes no difference. It makes absolutely no difference.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
The only commitment I have in the entire universe is to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Now, there's other commitments that flow out of that, dealing with brothers, children, grandchildren. There's much commitment that comes out of that by saying I commit to the Lord because He's into inheritance, He's into future. But my goodness, how in the world am I going to prepare a future for my inheritance or those that are going to inherit from me without first receiving from the Lord?
Right.
Now, this Word of God is an inheritance. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
What I just laid on you this morning is a tremendous inheritance from God. Now, all you have to do is spend it wisely.
Yes.
And this is what's strange. This inheritance, if you spend wisely, grows.
God.
You can't outspend God. You can't outgive what He gives. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm a product of what my granddad decided. Both of my granddads. You know that? I'm a product of what my two granddads decided. They decided, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And they did it back there when women didn't even have a choice. They just had to do it. My dad and my mom made the same decision. And I'm a product of that decision. My children, no matter what, it doesn't make any difference what if it's hot or cold outside. What do I care if it's what it looks like? My children are going to be what God has decided them to be, and they're going to be better than I am.
Amen.
Yes.
And this business about 13 years old, oh please. God can't control 13. 14, 15, 16. See, my wife has memories. She acts like they're bad. I had a good son. He is exactly who I made him to be. She didn't like the transition. Do you like the transition in you that God's doing? Not always. So what? It's going to get done anyway, right?
Right.
Yes and amen to do it, God, right? She got mad one time. She could have done it. She could have picked up. She could have shot. She reared back. She's going to knock him for a loop. And I told her, I said, don't you ever undo what I've been working to get done. She didn't like him talking back. Listen, guys, Christians need to learn to talk back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Men need to learn to talk back.
Amen.
Don't you knock out of him what I insist be in him. You going to be able to take that? Your son needs to talk back. Just needs to be controlled.
Amen.
I told my mom, remember my mom? She's about this big. Short. When I was cocky as a teenager, I looked at her one time. She gave me an order, and I said, great big talk, little bitty girl. My dad looked at me and she said, what she lacks in size, she has in pull. Influence. My dad didn't knock me for a loop. He just reminded me of some truth.
Right.
I didn't have to argue that fact. I'm smarter than that. A dumb person has to be knocked around. A smart person hears a word. Right? How many of you are smart? You hearing the word today? It's not my word. It's a word to me, but it's a word to you.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. Whatever the outcome looks like, you can't believe anything except what God has said about your outcome.
Amen.
This is a good message.
Yes, it is.
I didn't expect this to be this good. I grade mine before I show up, and that's wrong. I should know as soon as he gave it to me, it's going to be outstanding. When I'm in God, I am hidden from the things of this world.
Amen.
Hidden in his holiness from the unholy world. Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all stand with me. I am not going to ask you if all hearts clear, because I fully anticipate there's not one clear heart in this place. I'm going to say it again since you were talking and didn't hear it. I'm not going to ask you about a clear heart. I'm going to tell you that I don't expect one clear heart in this whole place. I expect this to be a harsh word that you'll take and put into effect from here on out.
Amen?
Amen. And the payoff is going to be tremendous.
Amen.
I mean, I'd like for y'all to be healthy and strong and rich and free from debt and overcomers and everything in about 1 month, because you are so busy rejoicing in the Lord. Then nothing can look, let me say it another way, where nothing can look negative to you. And that's hard. That doesn't come easy. What I'm saying to you is hard. It takes a stand and a strength that can only come from God to turn a tremendously negative situation into rejoicing in the Lord, which will take it and make it a positive situation. That's a man or woman of God. The rest, they're wussies. They're just wannabes. They want to go to church, they want to hear a word to pat you on the back, and then they want to go on and do the wrong thing anyway. Man, I like God. I trust Him. I trust Him. And I don't care. And I'll stand in front of you today, and I don't care what tests are going to come. It seems like every time a test comes, I have to believe Him more. Well, duh, Stan. So there's no big test. I'm determining in my heart there is no big test. There's just a little stand every time a test comes. And the test may get bigger, but the stand doesn't have to get bigger, because it becomes easier as time goes on. My children are safe in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
My wife, my household, myself, my provisions,
yes.
Those my responsibilities, my future, I have nothing to worry about.
That's right.
I rejoice in that, Lord. I rejoice in You, because that is Your decision, and I agree with Your decision. I rejoice in the fact, Lord, that You gave me enough sanity that to agree with You once in a while is a good thing, and I know that.
Yes.
Praise You, Lord. And I agree with You that You're my portion, You're my provision. You are my life and my health and my high fortress. You are the place, my hiding place.
Amen.
But I don't have to hide. You're the place that's impenetrable by the enemy.
Yes.
And if I can learn to rejoice, then I stay in the impenetrable place.
Yes.
And no weapon formed against me can ever prosper.
Yeah.
But I prosper because I please You.
Yes.
The world now has to gather and bring to me
whatever
I lack and want and need. Because I don't have any. It's Your provision. It's Your portion to me. I am a child of God. Therefore, I receive the total inheritance through obedience. And God, I commit to You to obey.
Yes.
Not just for the moment, but that every one of these good words that You keep giving, they become a classic in my life. They never leave. They are my foundation. They are my portion. They're my direction. Let that be the heart of Your people today. Wherever this word goes, if it's repeated through Your people, or if it's picked up by tape or CD, wherever this goes, let this become a landmark decision, a cornerstone to walk on, live on, rejoice in the Lord. You are my strength, my joy, my provision, my high tower. Hallelujah. And I, before tomorrow comes, I give it to You, Lord.
Yeah.
I give it to You in rejoicing that it's a good tomorrow. It's a good tomorrow. It's no negative thing in my life. Don't you ever believe you've ever seen anything negative in my life. Don't you believe it, because I don't believe it. In Christ Jesus, there's only yes and amen.
Amen.
Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. And when I get through lecturing myself, then I can lecture others. When I get through encouraging myself, I can encourage others. When I get through correcting myself, I can correct others. But we stand corrected.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. praise you, Lord. Hide me in your holiness.
Yes.
That's where I stand holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Anything that's not of you, I now confess, I repent. As I enter into you, Lord, as I rejoice and hide in you, hide me in your holiness. Thank you for the holiness that takes away from the unholiness of this world. Hallelujah. We take that as truth today. We receive it unto ourselves for life. For life. For the kingdom. Praise you, Lord. Now, everybody that agrees with this message today and commits to change their status and point and place in life, please say amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all are dismissed. Be blessed.